We're going to spend some time in the 37th Psalm this morning. If you would like to go there in your Bible, you can do that. We're going to read Psalm 37, verses 1 through 8, which is going to be the primary text we're going to use. We'll use other parts of the psalm. There are 40 verses in the psalm. We'll use some extra other verses as we go through the lesson. Beginning in verse 1 and reading through verse 8, it says, "Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. Injustice is everywhere. Innocent children suffer because of godless parents and adults. Adults suffer because of their parents' failures. Everyone suffers because of their own bad decisions sometimes. Natural disasters hurt innocent people. Disease affects the good as well as the bad. The wicked prosper. Life is not fair." David saw the same thing. He began this psalm with a word of advice. Do not fret. Do not be envious. The last verse that we read also, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. Whether we've suffered mistreatment from the ungodly or whether we find ourselves being envious of them, we need to remember that, like the song says, though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. That's from This Is My Father's World. Psalm 37 is what is called a wisdom psalm. It's identified as a psalm of David. Its message is simple. Its message is to maintain patience in the midst of troubles. God's people can have such patience because they know that their eternal reward will abundantly surpass any temporary troubles. The first verse again, do not fret because of those who are evil, nor be envious of those who do wrong. There are two elements here. Do not fret and do not be envious. In times of difficulty, it is perhaps too common for Christians to think that they are being dealt with harshly when they're mistreated or when they see ungodly people rejoicing in their abundant prosperity or behaviors that seem to go unpunished. We may often need the command, do not fret because of those who are evil. We may need to hear that often. To fret is to worry. To fret is to have the heart burn or to be kindled or to fume or to be inflamed. We may find ourselves sometimes lying awake at night thinking of some unjust thing someone said or someone did. Then we think about what we should have said, what we should have done. David is saying, don't do that. David is saying, don't fret. Then he goes on to say, nor be envious against the workers of iniquity. Envy is pain or discontent at the excellence or the prosperity of others. It is the result of a comparison of ourselves with others who are more highly gifted or favored or who are more successful than we are. When we are poor, when we're despised, when we're in deep trial, it's easy to become envious of the prosperous. And when we're conscious that we have been more righteous than they, the devil is sure to be ready with faulty reasoning. For example, if doing right is so good, how do you explain this? But who envies the fattened bull who has won all the ribbons which decorate him as he's led to the slaughter? Second verse says, after saying, "Do not fret or be envious of the evil those who do wrong." Why? Because like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. They will soon be cut down like grass, some translations say. This pictures the blade of death being sharpened. The grass grows greener, but the blade comes quickly and without mercy. And he's pointing out that the destruction of the ungodly will also be sure, sudden, and overwhelming. The grass cannot resist the blade. It cannot escape the blade. Neither can the ungodly escape their destruction. Their prosperity is only temporary. He says they will soon pass away, or they will soon die away. The thought's not that it will be done immediately, but that when it does occur, it will be a quick and rapid operation, as the grass falls quickly before the mower. The text says they will wither as the green herb, or like green plants, they will wither or they will die away. The beauty of the herb dries up at once in the heat of the sun, and so all the glory of the wicked shall disappear at the hour of death. Verses 9 and 10 will help us with those thoughts. It says, "For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found." Then verses 35 and 36 says, "I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a luxuriant native tree, but he soon passed away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found." Think of all the people who've left their mark upon history. And of course, there are millions and millions and hundreds of millions more people who've never left their mark upon history. But think of those who have. Some big names, let's say, Alexander the Great, Napoleon, Caesar, some of the pharaohs, and many others. The average person would likely recognize the names, but many would know little more than just the name, if they would know even more than that. Did I say that right? I think I made my point. Their glory has disappeared. And that seems to be what the psalmist is saying here. The psalmist says, "Death kills the ungodly man like grass and withers him like hay. Why should believers envy mere flesh?" The psalmist then goes on to show us four things we can do when we fret because of evildoers, when we become envious of them. He says we need to trust in the Lord. Verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture." This trust does not mean an unfounded, breezy optimism that everything will just turn out right. Instead, it's a deep abiding reliance on the God who has promised to punish the ungodly and to reward the righteous. Verses 18 through 20 says, "The blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty, but the wicked will perish. Though the Lord's enemies are like the flowers of the field, they will be consumed. They will go up in smoke." Then verses 37 and 38 says, "Consider the blameless, observe the upright. A future awaits those who seek peace. But all sinners will be destroyed. There will be no future for the wicked." When a patient has confidence in his doctor, he will take the prescribed medication. He will follow the doctor's course of treatment, even when it's difficult or unpleasant, even when it makes no sense. If he trusts the doctor's judgment, he believes that eventually he will get better if he does what the doctor has said. The same is true with us when we trust God. We will obey Him. We will do what He says in full confidence that everything will eventually work out for our good. If we keep our faith in the Lord and do good, the writer says, we will enjoy safe pasture, or we will dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Doing good is a fine remedy for fretting. We're told that his protection and his provision will not fail. We will enjoy safe pasture. Oswald Chambers wrote, "Faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading." When it seems like the worldly are winning, we need to remember that human sight, we might say, is cross-eyed. We view things only as they seem. This is the cause of envy. Faith is seeing the unseen. Faith is seeing the spiritual. Faith cures fretting. So he tells us, if we trust in him and do good, he will make us dwell in the land, and he will keep us fed, or literally he will shepherd us. Much of our outward depends on the inward. When there is heaven in the heart, there will be heaven in one's life. Instead of fretting because of evildoers, we need to delight in the law of the Lord, or delight in the Lord. I'm sorry, that there's a connection there with Psalm 1 that I'll address in just a second. But verse 4 says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Back in Psalm 1, we read that the righteous man's delight is in the law of the Lord. Delighting ourselves in God, delighting ourselves in his word, precedes, goes before God's giving us the desires of our heart. Those who truly delight in God will want, they will desire only those things which please God. And so if we want most of all what God wants for us, then he can give us our heart's desire. We need to think about that. C.S. Lewis said that at the day of judgment, there will only be two classes of people. Those who've said to God, "Your will be done," and those to whom God will say, "Your will be done." C.S. Lewis goes on to say, "The one who wants what God wants will find heaven. He will find unbroken fellowship with the Creator. That is what God wants for us. But the one who has said, 'No one's going to tell me what to do, I'm going to do it my way,' those people," he says, "will hear God reluctantly say, 'Very well, your will be done.'" It's little wonder that Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." And when we truly seek him with the whole heart, we will want for ourselves only what he wants for us. So he tells us that if we delight in him, he will give us the desires of our heart. So instead of fretting over evildoers or being envious of the wicked, we need to commit our way to the Lord. Verse 5 tells us that. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will bring it to pass, some translations say. When we are unsure about the future, we should commit our way to the Lord. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him," or submit to him, "and he will make your paths straight." When we are burdened down by worry and care, we should commit our way to the Lord. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says, "Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." The original language here of committing your way to the Lord suggests a load that one might move from one person's shoulders to another. This means to roll it on over, or roll it over on the Lord. This is probably a metaphor taken from the camel who lies down till his load is rolled up on him. The psalmist is saying, roll the whole burden of your life upon the Lord. Commit, he says, everything to God, and he will bring it to pass. He'll bring what to pass? Well, verse 6 answers that, but the New International Version is a little more helpful. It says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this," with a colon. So he will do the following. Verse 6 tells us what that is. "He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn. He will make your vindication like the noonday sun. We cannot solve all of our problems, no matter how hard we try. But when we commit our way to Him, He will care for us. What a cure this is for envy and fretting. Maybe you've been misquoted. Maybe you've been falsely accused. Maybe you've been slandered. Commit the entire matter to the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28-30, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And instead of fretting over evildoers or being envious of the wicked, we need to wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Rest in the Lord, verse 7 says, and wait patiently for Him. This is hard for those who are type A personalities. It can be hard for all of us. This means to hush the spirit, to be silent before the Lord, to wait on Him to work things out. Waiting is sometimes what we are least good at, but true faith waits, confident that God is able to do what is best. Knowing that things will eventually get better can encourage all of us in difficult times. It is hard when we feel mistreated, when we are suffering, when we are having a difficult time, but God will make it right one day. No matter how bad things look right now, God and those who serve Him will always win in the end. Verse 8 says, "Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil." This is a final admonition saying, do not take matters into your own hands. The worldly, the wicked, may seem like they are winning, but things are not always the way they seem. Notice verses 8 through 11. "Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity." This psalm shares the wisdom of an old man, David, who had walked with the Lord. Verses 25 and 26 tells us, "I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing." He had battled with evil men. He knew the frustration of watching the wicked prosper. He knew the frustration of watching the righteous suffer. As he reviewed the past, he gave us some wise counsel to keep us from fretting against the Lord. When things are not going the way we want them to go, he tells us in verses 37 through 40, "Consider the blameless, observe the upright. A future awaits those who seek peace. But all sinners will be destroyed. There will be no future for the wicked. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him." The psalm gives us a commandment to cease from worry and to put our trust in the Lord. May we all commit ourselves to that very end.